There's an old framed photograph in my parents' house, which I have known since childhood. In the foreground, you can see the back of the head of Edvard Beneš, the second president of Czechoslovakia. And bowing forward to shake the president's hand is a distinguished-looking man with shiny, matinee-idol hair and a neatly folded kerchief in his pocket. That's Otakar Machotka, my grandfather. Our family story, as my grandmother used to tell it, always seemed to me a bit like the sound of music, played in reverse. The Machotkas found their freedom by escaping into Germany. Otakar was our Captain von Trapp, the patriot whose political views force him to flee. One winter morning in Prague in 1948, Otakar put on his coat and hat and left the house and Czechoslovakia forever. That night he trudged over the mountains from the communist east into the American occupation zone of Germany. Weeks later, the rest of the family escaped too, my grandmother and the three Machotka children, including my mother Hanna, the youngest, who was not yet four. In Germany, the family was reunited and made their way to America, becoming, well, nobody special, just a family of five with strange accents and a funny last name. Still, I always sensed that my grandfather, who died before I was born, had been an important person in the old country. But what exactly had he done? Why was Otakar shaking President Beneš's hand in one moment and fleeing the country in the next?
Machotka was one of the ideologues of the National Socialist Party. He wrote this election program, for example. So it was quite clear for me when the coup came that Machotka will be one among the first who will be prosecuted.
Lubomir Kotačka was one of Otakar's sociology students at Charles University in the 1940s. He was also a junior member of the Czechoslovak National Socialists, a center-left party not to be confused with the German National Socialist or Nazi Party. Now 88 years old and a professor emeritus, Mr. Kotačka showed me his course registry with a stamp, cancelled, next to my grandfather's name.
Machotka was one about typical targets of communist attacks. For example, he wrote some article about working class, about this scarcity of education among working class. And this constatation of fact was used by the communists as objecting to him that he wants that the workers shouldn't get a better or high education.
It wasn't always that way. 3 years earlier, Otakar had worked with the communists and with others to help end the Nazi occupation of the country.
Prague is in great danger. The Germans are attacking with tanks and planes. We are calling urgently our allies to help.
Spring, 1945. Otakar began meeting in secret with members of various Czech political parties, including the communists, to plan for the defense of Prague as the Nazi Reich collapsed. They called themselves the Czech National Council. On May 5th, as a battle raged between Czechs and the Nazi SS outside the studios of Czech radio, an announcer read the names of the members of the Czech National Council and said they were working to establish order.
Docent Dr. Otakar Machotka, bývalý národní socialista, inženýr Jaromír Kafka.
Across town, Otakar and his colleagues had just emerged from exhausting negotiations with the Nazis' appointed boss in the Czech lands, Richard Binert.
I sat opposite Binert and was surprised to see he was gray in the face, and his large figure seemed to shake. We tried to calm him by offering him hundreds of cigarettes, since we knew he was a serious smoker. But after an hour, he still wasn't ready to cede control to the National Council.
Those are Otakar's words and my translation. Since coming to the Czech Republic last year, my Czech has gotten just good enough to read my grandfather's account of his role in the Prague uprising. After another hour, the council got Bienert to sign a statement they had written, but in the days that followed, fierce battles still raged.
We got to the top of Sasavska Street in Vinohrady, where the gunfire was much worse. The military captain of our vehicle gave the order for us to get out and each try separately to get to the Vinohrady brewhouse. There was shooting everywhere. On the other side of the street by the water tower, a frantic German hid behind the store's roller shutter and fired directly on our group through a small crack. Bullets exploded against the walls all around us. Somehow, none of us was hit. I still remember with admiration how Professor Albert Prajak, despite his advanced age and large figure, bravely endured this dangerous situation.
Though the Nazis were doomed, the Czechs lacked the arms to force a surrender. On May 8th, the National Council negotiated with General Toussaint, the German commander, offering his army safe passage through Prague in return for their not destroying the city. Ottokar writes that Toussaint was a handsome soldier and surprisingly sentimental. The next day, with the Germans mostly gone, the Soviet army arrived and claimed they had freed the city. More than 1,600 Praguers had died in the uprising. At a reception at Prague Castle the following month, President Beneš gave an award to each member of the council. Recently I learned that that is what's happening in that old black-and-white photo. Thanks to his role in the uprising, Ottokar became a leader in President Beneš's party. But the show of unity did not last long. For 3 years, Czechoslovakia teetered between democracy and dictatorship. Then, in February 1948, the Iron Curtain fell over the country when the communists staged a coup. Josef Lesák was just 25 years old and the country's youngest member of parliament.
No, naposledy jsme se setkali toho 23. února.
The last time I saw your grandfather was on the 23rd of February 1948 at a meeting of our party. We ran into each other in the hallway. I said hello, we shook hands. Later I thought Machotka and I could meet again someday if I could get out of this country. But instead I ended up in court and then at a labor camp. I worked for 29 years in the coal mines. And Ottokar Machotka certainly didn't belong there. He was already long gone.
Lesák pointed with pride to a bookshelf in his small living room. My name is mentioned in every one of these books, he said, gesturing across 24 or so volumes on Czechoslovak history. I asked if he was bitter that Ottokar got out, and he didn't. Not a bit, he said.
Jemu nezbývalo nic jiného. Ten totiž si musel být vědom.
Your grandfather had no choice but to flee. He'd have been among the first to be arrested. He wrote the most sharply anti-communist texts, and the party would have taken revenge on him and his family. So I'm glad he got out. Years ago, I was happy when I heard the news on a foreign radio broadcast.